Player 2 has joined the game.
Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 330 of the Two-Player Co-op Podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts here, Kevin, along with my brother from my mother, Sean.
How are we doing?
Fantastic. For the fifth time, if you didn't know, this is the Two-Player Co-op Podcast, where just about every week, two brothers get together to tell you everything you need to know about in the world of video games. If you like that, make sure you like the video, subscribe, share it with your friends, family, and everyone in betwixt. I thought you posted it on the Discord. You pulled out your phone, and then you were...
I did. Oh, well, I said we were live. I didn't post a link.
Also, this podcast is brought to you by Derek Bamford, who just guest starred on our Patreon bonus episode. Speaking of Patreon, if you really like us, you can go to patreon.com/twoplayerco-op, where we have a lot of different... Did I say something wrong?
No. Have we... I feel like we're overdue to make some old Patreon exclusive episodes public.
Yeah. Big buzz. Yeah, we need to do that every month. We got a lot of different benefits over there, but the most popular tier is the $5 tier, where for just $5 a month, you become a producer, meaning you get to watch us record the podcast live on YouTube, even if we do it very late at night when we're both very tired. You also get a bonuses episode every month, which we just bonus episode every month. I found my caffeine. Bonus episode every month, and you get the podcast live one day early if you miss the stream. If you like cool t-shirts and the like, you can go to teespring.com. Wait, no, our patrons deserve a shot. Well, teespring.com/twoplayerco-op stores. It doesn't matter. It's on the screen. Some of our patrons deserve a shout out, just like our patron saints, Derek Bamford and John Tingley, who has a bar named after him, as well as our affiliates, James Solar. Make sure you check out James Games and more on YouTube, Sarah Solar, and Mom, as well as our producers, Steve Appleton, Aunt Sue, Dustin Downs, and Chris Peralta. Also, make sure you check out PS Rewind on YouTube as well. Excuse me. I did everything out of order there. Kind of messed me up. Did I just see a mosquito?
I don't know.
It was like right here. Oh.
Remember those dive bombing, whatever they were?
What the hell? The things that just stuck on the ceiling?
Those are nasty.
They like there were swarms that came in, right?
Swarms.
Yeah. Swamp thing. We've got so many flies, and I saw somebody posted on Facebook that like apparently it's like everybody's like we're having way more flies. I was like, okay, I don't feel as self-conscious about my yard anymore. I almost said my yawn. Lawn or yard. My yawn. But they're everywhere.
Your lard.
And everybody's like they're everywhere, and I don't know what it is, but yeah. I have some witty banter, Sean.
Hey, me too.
Yesterday, I went boating. What?
You had like a weird...
Yesterday, I went boating.
On a pontoon. I don't know where words go.
Making waves and something up on the roof. Party in slow motion. Out here on the motor. Motorboat. No, we both did the same thing and it was both wrong. Out here in the middle. I don't know what it says. I was on a pontoon. Actually, I found out it was actually a tritune, which I've never heard of before. I thought a pontoon was a pontoon. A tritune, I guess because it was a little bit bigger. I think it was like 15, 20 feet. I think it was 20 feet. I don't know. It's got the two pontoons, but then it's got another one in the middle. So it's a tritune.
Why isn't a pontoon called a bitune? If they're in, say, the next one's a tritune.
I think because you probably just had a boat that was called a pontoon boat forever. pontoon boat forever. And then they're like, what if we put another ballast down there or whatever they're called? Is that what it is?
No. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're called.
A buoy. Those aren't buoys.
The Pope and Raquel Welch on a lifeboat.
Those aren't buoys. But yeah, so I have not driven a boat for an extended amount of time in a very long time. Actually, ever. The last time I drove a boat was probably with John and Cindy on their boat before we had kids, I feel like. So 16, 17 years ago. And even then, it was probably just for a couple minutes, and then John took back over. Before that, it was our little crappy boat that was just a metal tub with a motor on the back that you had to do steering it like this. You know, you didn't have a steering wheel.
Until we crashed it.
Yes, and mom's like, hi! And we're like, help! And she's like, hi!
Oh, they're waving at us, hi!
We beached, like the first time we took it out, I think, our dad beached it across the river. He got too close to the shore, didn't pull the motor up. The propeller was completely just destroyed. So we had
to walk. Stranded across the river.
Yeah, we had to walk as far down as we could, and then we're like, okay, at least we had an oar. If we didn't have an oar,
we'd be up a creek without a paddle.
We'd be up the river without a paddle. But and we made it back. We lived, obviously. So and then going into this, Amanda was like, we called to rent it, and the guy's like, you know, we were like, how much is it? What are the sizes? You can get 125 horsepower, 150. Let's get the 150. Thank you very much. We're going to be tubing. Cool. We'll give you a tube. Okay, cool. You guys have driven a boat before, right? And Jess was like, oh, no, we haven't. And he's like, oh, well, I can't rent it to you. And she's like, whoa, okay. But I mean, we haven't, but our friend Allie has. And she's coming in town. She's going to drive it. He's like, okay, as long as there's someone that operates. Like,
is Allie there?
I don't need to see a license or anything, but someone has to know how to operate this thing if I'm going to rent it to you. Okay, cool. Boom. We were supposed to go with Allie. Then, when we had a cookout over here for the Jake group, Jack, of course, something always happens to Jack. This time, he was on the trampoline jumping, and we're all sitting over there talking and everything, and then all of a sudden, you hear this blood-curdling scream. And it's, we look over and it's Jack, and I'm like, oh my God, there was like six people on the trampoline. I was like, he broke his ankle. He snapped his leg in half or something. Like, I figured he went like Alex Smith or something. It was just a blood curdling scream. And he's trying to walk, and Noah's like trying to help him up. I'm like, don't move him. Don't, because I just imagine his legs just like this. And then I can see a little bit in the light as he's like starting to like get into the light as he's coming to the exit. And I see blood on his foot, and I was like, okay, at least it's just blood. Okay.
Well, unless it's a bone sticking through.
It wasn't, but oh my God, this poor kid. Basically, his foot went through where the springs are. He went through, and if you look, the springs are with a big hook, and I think he went on that. Ugh. His third or fourth toe had a gash that went from above all the way below.
Went all the way around.
Almost all the way around, and it was bleeding everywhere. They got it to mostly stop. Allie had to take him to the ER. 8 stitches.
Jeez.
On his, you know, on his little, not his little toe, but his toe that is little.
His widow toe.
So anyways, we were supposed to go on the boat the next day, and Allie's like, he's going to be miserable if he's just sitting on the boat. I'm not letting him. Then the doctor said, you can't go in any, don't go swimming or anything for a week. This thing's got to heal. Definitely don't go in the nasty Pickwick Lake. So we had to cancel it, well, reschedule it, because we didn't want to lose our deposit. And then Amanda's like, long story long, Amanda's like, well, I know how to drive. Well, Jess was like, Amanda knows how to drive a boat. She had her license in Florida, whatever, blah, blah, blah. She never lived in Florida. I don't know why she had her license in Florida. Anyways, doesn't matter. She knows how to drive a boat. I was like, okay, cool. So we're going to go with Amanda, and Amanda's going to drive. We get there yesterday. And we get there before Amanda and them. We're on the boat getting our life jackets and stuff. The guy's going over the, okay, don't go past the bridge. I went past the bridge. This is how you do this, everything, blah, blah, blah. You know how to do it? I'm like, yeah, yep, got it. I'm just like, yeah, I'm just listening. Amanda's going to drive this thing. I don't care. Amanda gets in. They load all their stuff up. And she's like, and the guy's like untying us. I'm like, okay, time to go, guys. I'm like, okay. And Amanda's like, do you want to just drive? And I was like, I don't know how to drive this boat. And she's like, well, I know I said I could do it, but I don't really know. And then all of a sudden he's like, all right, guys. And he's pushing us off. So I sit down and I turn the engine on. He's like, all right, just crank the wheel.
He wasn't like, wait a minute.
No, because she was doing it. Well, no, because he didn't. They didn't know. It's not like you were could only say one person could drive it. But he's like, okay, put it in reverse, spin the wheel all the way, because you've got all these different docks and you're in this inlet. I'm like, okay. I'm like, ugh. And he's like, I'm telling you to turn it. If you hit something, it's my fault. Okay, turn it, put it in reverse. He's like, okay. Now put it in neutral. Okay, spin the wheel back. All right, now just give it a little bit of gas. That's what I did. Because you're in there, there's supposed to be no wake and stuff. And I'm like, okay. He said, I said a little bit of gas. I was like, okay, I know. I'm sorry. So then I realized that, like, the throttle is just, there's reverse, neutral, forward. But there's forward just to get it to, like, idle forward. And then you can gradually push it forward. Once I got the hang of it, because I thought I was in Star Wars or something, like, light speed. I got the hang of it. It was really easy. It was so much fun. But within like two, I mean, I was nervous as hell, even just going out of there. Like there were people that like, I just had it idling going forward to get out of the no wake zone. People had it like in like the equivalent of first gear, basically. So there was a little bit of a wake, but they didn't care about that. I'm like, I ain't doing that. I already tried to peel out of here trying to get out of the dock. But once I got out in the open water and I got to the feel of what's where is it shallow and everything, so much fun. And
driving like, a boat just stresses me out.
I thought it would too. Now, the reason I was always stressed out about it is because I'm picturing like the way John and Cindy used to do it. When we would go on their boat, they would trail it. They would go to a boat launch. They would back up the trailer, which I don't ever want to trail anything behind my truck.
No.
I don't know why I have a truck. Back it up, drive it off. That's one thing. The part that scared me to death was getting it back on the trailer. So you got to back the trailer into the water, drive the boat. I'm like,
oh, God.
This. So it went really well. We were out there from 9 to 5. I was roasted, toasted, and burnt to a crisp. And at one point, because you're supposed to stay within a certain area, and we were just trying to, I was just going along because Amanda said, don't go to the left. That's where all the drunk people are. Go to the right. It's not as busy, and you don't have a bunch of drunk college kids. Good idea. Go to the right. I'm just kind of going along. We're not tubing yet. And they're like, can we tube? I'm like, I'm trying to figure out how to drive this stupid thing. I just went into light speed, okay? I need to get used to this. And we're going down. And then we start tubing, and I'm just kind of like going like this and stuff. By the end, I was like, and Nick was like, so much fun. But I went too far because I didn't remember it at the time, but after this happened, I was like, oh, yeah. He said, don't go under that bridge. That's too far. Went under the bridge, and Eliza was tubing behind us in super low speed. And then she's done. And then Jess's phone rang. She goes, oh, the rental place is calling. And I was like, are they going to yell at me for, like, peeling out of there or something and tell us to bring it back? And he's like, hey, our alarm is going off. You went too far. You got to get back on the other side of that bridge or this alarm's going to keep going off. And we're like, oh my God, so sorry. We're going to go. So basically they've got like a
geofence. They'll never rent to you guys again.
They've got a geofence. Wait, story's not done. So they got a geofence. And when you get beyond it, you know, it sets off an alarm. Then we dropped anchor to just swim and stuff. We could not get the friggin' anchor to like anchor. We kept drifting like almost under the shore. I was like, everybody get back in. We gotta go. The propeller hit the ground a little bit. Like I heard, kung, kung. I was like, oh my God, please no. But it had just enough with the idle to get off of whatever was there, the high spot. And I was like, this is so stupid. It's an anchor. You just throw it down and it works. Jess was like, I'm going to Google. I was like, oh my God, are we really this inept that we have to Google how do you anchor a boat? Sure enough, there's a way to do it. I was like, okay, Jess, I'm sorry. You're supposed to go out like 100 feet from where you want to end up, cut the engine off, drop the anchor.
And let it like grab on.
Let it go down and then let the tide bring you back in until you're about 100 feet back. See if it's caught and then tie it around the cleat, put it in reverse a little bit just to kind of, and we got it to work. Then when it was time to go, couldn't get it out of the friggin' ground. So I had Amanda driving while I'm trying to like, I was like, okay, go over it, but, and then like spin this way.
This sounds so stressful.
But at the end of the day, it was so much fun. Now that I've done it, like I want to go, like all of us should rent the boat one time. Mom and dad probably, dad would want to go. Mom.
I am not driving that thing.
You don't have to.
Okay. That sounds very stressful.
But the girls would love it. Kira might go.
I don't know. She might.
But I mean, she can at least swim and stuff and hang out. Maddie probably. Actually, maybe Maddie would just want to stay with mom, and then dad and you and Brittany and Kira could go.
Maybe, yeah.
But it was so much fun. And then when I went to pull back in, I was like, this is the thing that always scares me is trying to park this thing. Oh, first then we had to fill up the gas on the way back in. So I pull up. I'm like going as slow as I can. I'm like, okay. Okay. Okay, go back this way. Okay. And I get it to where I'm like, okay, now cut the engine, put it in reverse just a little bit to kind of stop. Okay. And I'm right next to the gas. And Amanda jumps out, grabs a rope, and I was like, I fucking did it. Yes. All right, let's fuel up and take it back because we only got like 5 minutes left before we'd get charged for like another 15 minutes. Girl comes out. Hey, our systems are down. I was like, she's like, so I'm just, because normally if you don't fill it up when you bring it back, they charge you more, or they take your whole deposit or whatever instead of just the gas melt. But because their systems were down, they were just going to charge us the gas. So we take it back. We got like 3 minutes to spare, and I'm going up to the dock. There's all these little inlets. I'm like, okay, I'm going to start turning now. And Amanda's like, are you going to get in there? I'm like, I'm turning. Don't. And she's like, I think he wants you to turn more. I was like, Amanda, shut the fuck up. I'm like, okay, I got it. Now give it a little bit of gas to get it going. Okay. I'm kind of fishtailing a little bit. Okay. Give it a little more gas. Okay. Turn back this way. Okay, cool. Now stop. Pull it back. Okay. Pull it back. I'm like, okay, I'm going too fast. The guy's like, I hit the corner of it with the pontoon, and the guy was like, but he didn't say anything. So I mean, it was. And I
was it
at
the same guy that was there when you like
he was
took
not
off?
The Whataburger okay. guy. Oh no, it no. was a different guy than when we took off. But all in all, it was so much fun. In my mind, of course, anytime you go on a boat, really, what you want, you don't want to own a boat. You want to have a friend that has a boat.
Yeah.
I want to be the friend that owns the boat. Then I look up the prices, like I was telling Sean, pontoon boats. John Tingley. Pontoon boats can go anywhere up to like...
Pontoon or tritoon?
Tritoons, up to like 140,000. But you can get a motor that's like 230 horsepower. We had 150 and I was going pretty fast.
That seems like way too much for a boat.
Money or horsepower?
Horsepower. Oh. How much for a pontoon? A bitoon?
I stopped looking. I was like, okay, I can just rent them for a few hundred bucks for the day. And that's way cheaper than owning one of these things and using it five times in the summer.
Just to deal with it.
If I rented a boat every weekend for a day for the whole summer, it would take me so many summers to get to the... You know what I mean? Like, it just does... Now, if I hit Powerball, then yeah, give me the most expensive tri-tune. Let's
Plus,
go.
That's just buying the boat. Then you got to pay to like have it, you know, docked and
you
stored.
Pay to keep
and, like,
it. Yeah. Yeah, the maintenance, the gas, everything. But man,
I feel like unless you live there.
Yeah, exactly. And you got your own dock. You live on the water, which Noah's friend, Whit, they do have a place on the water. And they've got a boat.
I'm sure he does.
Well, yes. Bronco, yeah. But that's my witty banter. What have you been up to, Sean? Whataburger.
My story isn't as good. I got more bathroom talk. This one isn't as good. But my bathroom at work. There's four stalls.
Okay.
Yeah. Urinal. Three stalls. Handicap stall.
Oh, boy.
So.
There was a Curb episode about this.
I don't want to use the handicap stall because I'm not handicapped. But I don't know that we have anybody in the building that needs to use that stall. So sometimes I use it, but my go-to stall is the third one. First one is too close to the stalls. If I'm in the second one, then that means if anybody else comes in and they don't want to use the handicap one, they're going to use one or three, so they're going to be right next to me. So I usually go to the third. The third one, for whatever reason, has a door that opens out. Well, if I'm leaving the stall, it opens out. It opens into the bathroom. Stalls one and two open into the stall.
Okay,
now,
yeah.
Usually, I'll go to number three. If there's somebody in number four, which is the handicap one, sometimes I don't go to number three. Number I go two. To number two. Or if somebody's in number three. If somebody's in number three, I'll go to one. But I also don't like going to one because it's right next to the urinals. It's a whole thing. The other day, must have been Friday. Friday, I had to use number two.
I used number two to go to.
And this has happened before. I mean, it has never happened yet, but it's come close to happening many times. Number one and number two, the door doesn't open out. It opens in.
Mm-hmm.
And on the inside of these stall doors, there's the little hook with like a hook for your like hang stuff if you want.
Yeah.
There's been so many times I get up to leave and I start walking and try to push on the door and it doesn't push because you have to pull it in. And one of these times, I'm going to walk
right
into that hook and give myself like a black eye or pop my eye out or something. So I just want to get it out there.
Did it happen?
No, it hasn't yet, but it's come very close to happening.
I thought that was the next part of the story.
No, it hasn't happened yet, but it just crossed my mind the other day. I think it was last Friday that it will probably happen sometime.
That's terrifying.
What else? We're talking about Vegas. We're going to do the Vegas trip. We're trying to figure out when to go and all that. Then I realized Super Bowl is in Vegas this year. I mean, next year, but 24. Oh. Obviously, we're not going to the Super Bowl. But it'd be cool to be in Vegas for the Super Bowl.
You'd be like, what's up, Danny Dimes? Let's go. Let's beat the Patriots again.
But then we started looking at tickets. I mean, not tickets, but hotels.
All booked.
No.
Oh.
But if you want to stay on the Strip, there's things I've never heard of. But anything you've heard of, like Bellagio or Aria or MGM. Caesar's Palace, MGM, Luxor, all those things. Anywhere from like $500 to like $1,500 a night. And I'm like, I think that's out. So then I just randomly look like 2 weekends later, and these same hotels are like $150 to $250 a night. Like, they're dirt cheap because they just assume you're going to lose all your money gambling. So
which
I thought we might be there for the Super Bowl, but I don't think that's going to happen now. But we'll go at some point. Lastly, I went to see Oppenheimer with my dad.
I still have not gone.
It was so good. And like I was saying in the Discord, like obviously Inception, Interstellar, Memento, I think those are the big ones outside of the Batman trilogy.
Prestige.
Like, and Prestige, yeah. They all, it's almost M. Night Shyamalan-ish where they've got like kind of the twist at the end. Batman doesn't really have that, but Batman just kind of stands on his own, whatever. And then there's Dunkirk, which also kind of had a twist. It's like,
it's the it's all
yeah. And so I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work with Oppenheimer. I'm like, is this really going to feel like a Christopher Nolan movie, or is this just going to be like kind of a biography and just going to be really well done, whatever. And I don't want to give anything away, but there's definitely, there's not like one single like, oh my God, there's no like thing. There's no like reveal, no twist, no nothing like that. Not even to the level of like Dunkirk. I mean, there kind of is, depending on how you look at it.
Dunkirk
was really
so freaking good.
But it still just, it felt like a Christopher Nolan movie. The music, the cinematography, just everything about it was like still very much Christopher Nolan. It was unbelievable. Other than Batman and the various Batmen, it's, man, it might be my favorite Nolan movie.
Oh wow, it's already over 400 million.
And it has no bit, like, I love Interstellar, but it's still just very confusing. Every time I watch it, I'm still, oh, and Tenet. Tenet's up there too.
Oh my God.
But that, it just confused me.
I've only watched it once.
Yeah. I kind of want to read the book. I've already read Oppenheimer's whole, like, Wikipedia page, and there's just so many times in that movie where you're just like, like, you know it's a biopic. You know, in general, what happens. But there's, like,
oh yeah,
I'm just, like,
is the composer. Okay.
On the edge of my seat, like, basically, I mean, it's not really spoilers, but, like,
waiting for the bomb to go
off. The Trinity, yeah, when they test the bomb, it's this big, like, crescendo. Like, everything's been building to this, and you're just, like...
And it's practical.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I'm glad I haven't seen a Twitter clip or anything, because I know it's got to be out
it's
there somewhere.
It's so cool.
I want to see it for myself on the big screen.
Yeah. Anybody that hasn't seen Oppenheimer, my God, go see it. It's so good. And you can have your thoughts, and it's not, this doesn't, this is not any kind of like, what's the word? Like propaganda. It doesn't like glorify it or anything. It treats the subject matter very well, but my God, it's so good. If you're questioning seeing it, please go see it. It's amazing. It's long, but it doesn't really feel long.
Yeah, Dad said it felt like a 2.5 hour movie.
Like, yeah, I really didn't want it to end. Like, I'm like, I would have kept, just keep it going. I don't care. Like, this is amazing.
Did you get a drink?
No.
Yeah, I don't think I'm getting.
No, I wouldn't.
I'm going to pee, poop, everything right before the trailer starts. I'm not leaving my seat.
But yeah, it was unbelievable. Highly recommend it.
Yeah, Jess wants to see it, so that's why I didn't go. But actually, we might try to go tomorrow night. I don't know. She's so, because this is the first week of in service with all, and she's got like 4 or 5 new teachers and stuff. So it's,
oh geez,
she's busy. But yeah, I can't wait to see it. Yeah. I do not care about seeing Barbie. It doesn't.
No, I'll see it when I can, like, watch it at home. Care. I might see it, but like, I don't know. If it's on net, if it's somewhere where I don't have to pay to rent it, I would almost certainly watch it. If I have to pay to rent it, like $3 or $4, and be like, I might just wait till it's free. Like, I'm at least curious about it. It's not like, there's no part of me that's like, oh my God, I gotta see Barbie. But I kind of feel like I have to see it just because, but I don't know. I'll see it when it's free for sure. Maybe when it's cheap, but I'm not going to see it at a movie theater.
Barkley peed on the carpet. That never happens. He must have been... Somebody just added to our Amazon shopping, to our Alexa shopping list, carpet cleaner. Oh, Sean, what have you been playing this week? And I will say, I haven't really played anything. I just was not in the mood this week. I still love Final Fantasy 16. I just wasn't in the mood. I don't know why, but I haven't played anything. I tried that boss. I tried beating the boss without getting hit. I got really close. I got him down to like 25% health, and I just made a stupid mistake. I know I can do it. Once I get past that, I'm going to fly through it. And then I just got to max everything out. I was going to say, oh no, you said you get a lot of ability points in New Game Plus, right? Because I was going to say, should I go back to my old save and just try to max out
You're talking like regular game? Your level or your like your the ability unlock?
Yeah. Or no, you were saying you get XP. Like crazy.
You get a lot of XP. The ability points, if you do the smart thing, which I guess I can tell you now. There's an item called like Wages of Warcraft or something about Warcraft. I don't know.
One of the rings or whatever.
It's something you equip as an accessory and it increases by like 20% or 30% or something the ability points you get. You can get a second one in New Game Plus. I think it's 20% or 15%, something like that. You can get a better version of it. Yeah, in New Game Plus. And if you equip both of those, if you can stand to equip both of them.
And lose my attack power.
But I think you can equip three things. So you could probably do two of those and then your circle dodge thing. I don't think you would find yourself having to grind at all. That being said, I didn't use them at all until I was at the end of the game and was grinding to finish it.
What part? Because now that I've beaten it, without spoiling anything, where was it that you did the grinding?
Basically the last part. But right before, where would it be?
Before you fight him, kind of?
Yeah, not the thing up in the sky, but...
When you're in the Mind Palace thing?
When the force field thing goes away.
Okay.
The last area...
Oh, before you go in.
Yeah. There's like a big castle wall looking thing that you go through that leads to a field that leads to, I'm trying to think of what's at the end of it, but it's basically where you, not quite the end of the game. But anyways, there's a crystal, what do you call it? An obelisk there. And there's like 3 or 4 enemies that you would see them and not really think much of them, but they give you a decent, it's like you run across the field, kill these guys, run back. So it resets, run back across, kill them, run back, bup, 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 bup.
Oh, you don't have to fast travel to reset it if you just go to the obelisk? Or do you mean fast travel?
Oh, no, that's
back
what you do.
Obelisk.
Yeah, you run across, you fight them, fast travel back. Run across, fight them, fast travel back.
It's like what you did in Bloodstained when you were trying to get the 9,990 or whatever.
So I had to do that, and I wasn't using those items at all throughout. And I also just ran past a lot of enemies because I'm like, I don't need to fight everything.
Right.
And I only had to grind for an hour, hour and a half to get to where I needed to be.
But didn't you say you get like in that point? Because the guy said you get however many thousands an hour or something like that, something crazy ability
for the grinding.
Yeah,
you get a decent amount. Okay. And the other thing, so some of the bosses and like hunts slash side quests, maybe where you can get a lot of ability points. Those things you can equip does not affect those.
Okay.
And that's where you get a good chunk of them. Like, you might do a hunt or, you know, an optional boss or a boss or whatever and get, like, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000 ability points or something.
But you don't get and that doubled.
Killing a good enemy gets you like 100 or so.
Okay.
And so that 100 gets bumped up to like 140 or something if you have the things equipped. 5,000. But it's not like your 10,000 goes up to 14,000. Those aren't affected. Yeah. So
did you do any of the hunts in New Game Plus to get the just
the one? The only ones I did, I think the only ones I did were the ones that I had to do in order to get
the weapon
Gotcha Damarung Reforge so that I could get Ultima Weapon.
Okay.
But there's not a trophy for that, so it's up to you if you really want it.
And what do? You do the blacksmith's blues again, but
it's
then
the same things
stuff.
You do to do so.
Because wasn't it all the blacksmith's blues to get to Gotcha Damarung?
Yeah, once you get Gotcha Damarung in New Game Plus, you've basically already got Ultima Weapon. Like, there's nothing. I think the only other piece you need, I think it's like this plus Gotcha Damarung equals Ultima Weapon. And whatever this is, which I'm not trying to avoid spoilers, I don't remember what it is.
It's not Reforged?
You just start with it at the beginning of the game, I think. Oh, no. You need an item that they just give you at the beginning. You need the final, you know how you go from like the fire sword to the earth sword to the like those, you kind of like upgrade the sword, you just keep upgrading it and it turns into like a different elemental. The last one of that you get, plus Gotcha Damarung, plus the weapon, plus the item that they give you from the beginning,
gives you Ultima.
Okay. So you'll already have this. You'll basically already have this. So as long as you get Gotcha Damarung, you can get Ultima Weapon like that. Gotcha Damarung is the only thing you'd have to go out of your way to get Ultima Weapon, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
But I already have it.
But you need the new Gotcha Damarung.
Okay, right. So you're saying the Reforged. But
so you have
got
to do
Reforged,
the Blacksmith's Blues. Yeah. You'll have to do some of the hunts that give you the Orichalcums and the this and the that.
Oh, yeah. Fight that giant soldier dude.
Yeah, so I think those are the only hunts I did in New Game Plus.
Okay.
And that was just because I'm like, I've come this far. I want to get Ultima Weapon.
I'm shocked.
It's probably like 10% stronger than your Gotcha Damarung Reforged. Like, it's not like it doubles the strength.
It's so weird that there's a trophy for Gotcha Damarung, but not for Ultima Weapon.
Yeah.
That's so weird. Oh, well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all. I've just got to sit down for an hour or so and beat that boss without getting hit, and then just bam, I'm off again. But I just wasn't in the mood this week. I don't know why.
That's kind of where I'm at. I don't think I've played anything. I mean, my wife was gone most of the week, so I didn't really get a chance to play much. I think the last thing I played was
you were playing
Undertale.
Something besides
Undertale.
That's right, yeah.
But I haven't played that in like 4 or 5 days. I don't think I've played it. Oh, no. I know. I've played Oracle of Ages on
Switch. Yeah.
I knew there was something I've been playing. I've only beaten 2 dungeons so far. It's very good. It's very much Link's Awakening. It's the same. The graphics are identical. The music's pretty much identical. The sound effects, the mechanics, everything is like it. It seems like it's more like Link to the Past in that there's kind of a light world, dark world thing going on. So it kind of doubles the map, kind of, sort of. It's very good. I don't know. I'll probably play through both of them at some point.
I just want the remake. I don't want to have to equip, like you were saying, equip the bracelet to pick something up, equip the shield to block. Like, those should just be.
So in the second dungeon, there's like, which I think we're in Link's Awakening, there's like these spiky top enemies that you have to bump with your shield to flip them over so you can kill them.
Yeah.
Other than those enemies in the second dungeon, I haven't even equipped the shield. Mm. So I wouldn't let that stop you.
Okay.
But it's really just like, I feel like I'm just treading water, waiting for like, Blasphemous 2 right now.
Blasphemous 2 and then Spider-Man in October. That's really
it. Yeah.
Unless I end up getting a Series X and play Starfield. But
yeah. But yeah, that's all I've really played. I want to play through Ages and Seasons at some point. But
did you pick Ages for any specific reason, or were you just like, yeah, whatever?
So I know Ages.
Ages is the combat one or the puzzle one?
It seems like the puzzle one, okay. But I don't know. I know Ages has like the present past kind of thing, the two worlds, whereas Seasons, I think, is literally seasons. You go between like summer and winter or something. I'm like, Ages just sounds more fun. Seems like there'd be a, more of a difference between the worlds if it's present and past than just summer, winter, whatever. So that's why I picked Ages. I've played one of them a little bit a long time ago. So far, this one does not seem familiar. So either I've totally forgotten it or it was Seasons that I played. But I've played one of them a little bit. Even if it was this one, I think I'm already further than I ever got in it previously. Mm-hmm. But it's good. It's definitely good. I would... Don't let the shield thing keep you from playing it.
Okay.
But, yeah. Did you ever play the original... Not literally on Game Boy, but, like, not remake of Link's Awakening?
Yeah, I played up until the monkey fetch quest, where you got to go here to get this, and then get the banana, and then you got to do this and that, and then... Or is that... No, the monkey, all you had to do was give him a banana, and then they make you the bridge, right? Or was it a big quest to get to the banana? The big quest, I know there's a big quest to get to the
boomerang.
There's
a big quest to get the boomerang, yeah. Which was just very weird, because... Is it the Wiz Robes? There's some enemy in some dungeon that, for no reason that makes any sense at all, you can only kill with a boomerang. Yeah. And they don't tell you that. And it's this seemingly optional fetch quest to get it.
But and you it's the need most powerful to get weapon it. In the game.
Yeah, it's super overpowered. You need to do it. They don't really tell you that you need to do it. And you need it for a reason that doesn't really make sense. That, and then the switch... Where, like, you hit the switch and the different blocks go up and down.
That one dungeon.
It's, like, six or seven. Those two things alone kind of turned me off from Link's Awakening.
Yeah.
So far, I'm still very early in Oracle of Ages, but it seems like it's a better game. I feel like I hear a lot of people say Link's Awakening is their favorite Zelda game. Yeah. I feel like I never hear anybody say either of the Oracle games is their favorite Zelda game. Even though I hear like nothing but unanimous praise for them, I feel like I've never heard anybody say either of them is their favorite game. I've heard a lot of people say Link's Awakening is their favorite Zelda game.
I don't know how anybody can
think. So far, I think this is better than Link's Awakening.
I just don't understand.
And it just seems like it would be such an easy thing to do to just...
You've got everything.
Give us remasters of these games, like, I don't know, separately for $40 or together for $60 or something, like... I don't know.
You've got the art style. You've got everything
made. I think it'll
made.
Happen.
You've got everything made. It would be dumb not to. And that was 4 years ago. That was 2019, I think, that Link's Awakening came out. I was to work. So, yeah, it was before COVID, because I remember driving home and all of a sudden my phone's blown
up. Yeah, it was definitely before COVID.
It was actually the Nerd 901 guys, I think. We were texting with them when it got announced or something. Hmm. Or I might have actually been watching the Direct on my phone as I was driving, because I was hoping there was going to be, or maybe I was hoping for a Link Between Worlds or something. I don't know what it was, but
yeah,
there were rumors of Zelda or something. But yeah,
Zelda.
It's Belder. Sean, you want to get the news of the week?
Let's do it.
Not a whole lot to talk about this week, but there are a couple things I wanted to talk about. The first just broke today, and this comes from VGC. Development kits for Nintendo's next console are now with key partner studios, with launch planned for next year, sources have told VGC. According to multiple people with knowledge of the next-gen console plans for Nintendo, the company is likely to release new hardware during the second half of 2024 to ensure it has ample stock available on day one and to avoid the kind of shortages seen with the PS5 and Series X and S. Although specific details on the console were being kept closely guarded, those VGC spoke to indicated that the next-gen console would be able to be used in portable mode similar to the Nintendo Switch. I would think, sidebar, I think that's a given. It would be insanity
to just go to a standard console.
Because you can't compete with Xbox or PlayStation on just a home console that you can't take on the go.
I just don't know how... You had the Switch. Now you've got the OLED Switch. Even if you don't call this the Switch 2, it's basically a Switch 2. I don't know how you have this thing that is portable but can be used... You know, in a dock, whatever it's going to be, to play on a big screen and not have it just seem like a Wii U to the Wii, which did not work well. I'm sure Nintendo will figure it out, but
it
kind of seems like they've painted themselves into a corner, and it's like you can't go back to just a non-portable thing.
But you also can't
keep
going on this.
If it's only portable,
with this,
that's also not going to work.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
I think it's going to be called the Switch 2. I mean, Switch when they first announced it, everybody was like, this is stupid.
But they've never done that. I think it'll be something totally different.
But Switch, they've sold 125 million consoles.
The only time they did something like that was the Wii U, and it was an absolute failure.
Oh, my God, the Super Switch.
That's the only thing I could think of.
That would be awesome. Two sources VGC spoke to suggested the console could launch with an LCD screen instead of the more premium OLED in order to bring down costs, especially considering the increased storage needed for higher fidelity games. The current Switch comes with just 32 gigs of internal memory, while many current-gen PlayStation and Xbox games are over 100 gigs. Like its predecessor, the new Nintendo console will also accept physical games via a cartridge slot, the source said. Other details, such as backwards compatibility support for Switch games, physical and digital, remains unclear. Nintendo has said that it wants to convert as many of Switch's 100 million-plus user base as possible to its next system, although some third-party publishers are said to have expressed concern that legacy support for Switch games could negatively affect sales of next-gen titles. Let's be real. Third-party games don't sell like crazy on the Switch anyways. No. Everybody buys it for Nintendo games. Nintendo did not immediately respond to VGC's request for comment on the story. Tokyo-based industry consultant Dr. Serkan Toto told VGC that a 2024 console launch would make sense for Nintendo since it's projected to see double-digit declines in Switch hardware and software sales this year after it cleared 7 years in the market. Quote, I would generally say that looking at Nintendo's financials, it seems clear that it's time for a new piece of hardware in 2024. Hardware is already projected to fall 16.5% year-on-year in the current fiscal, while the minus for software is expected to hit 15.9%. The only way to stop these losses from totally ballooning next fiscal is a new device, and the second half of 2024 sounds like a realistic release window to me, end quote. There's a lot of other quotes here and everything, but basically, we know this is coming. The thing that I think is so funny about this, go back to the lead up to the Switch. It was almost like for a year before that thing came out, or probably even a year before it finally got announced and revealed when they revealed, you know, Red Dead the same day, which was just insane. Not they, Rockstar. You know what I mean. It felt like we were talking about Switch patents and leaks and theories and almost every week on the podcast. Maybe it wasn't, but just looking back, it felt like that.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about this, and maybe we don't know anything about this because it is just going to be another more powerful Switch.
I'm just trying to think of what they can do differently than the Switch. If you just have a Switch, you've gone backwards in the display, according to this, from the OLED. So maybe it's a little bit more powerful, but if you're keeping the same general form factor and you want this to be playable on the go or docked in some way, shape, or form, I just can't imagine it being a huge increase in power.
Remember, Kodak said they're shooting for PS4, Xbox One. That's plenty powerful to me. If they can
do it. Oh, yeah.
But like the Steam Deck is supposed to be, from what I've read, little bit more powerful than a PS4, and it's big and bulky and all that. If you can get the Switch 2 close to Xbone and PS4 levels of power without making it much bigger and bulkier than the current Switch is now, I think that's perfect.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know what they can do to set it apart enough from the Switch to make it not just seem like a Wii U.
You have to do what people didn't want Sony and Xbox to do. You have to say Mario Odyssey 2 or whatever the hell it's going to be is a Switch 2 exclusive. You've got...
Yeah, I mean, you can
Metroid
do it.
And Metroid Prime 4 is a Switch 2
You can
exclusive.
Do it that way by just locking games out from the Switch, but I don't see how... I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to think of things you can do, like, what if instead of the whole thing that you can put on the dock or play, what if it stays docked, but you've got, like, a separate screen, and I'm like, no, that's the Wii U, and that didn't work.
Well, but also, remember there were so many
I mean,
rumors.
I trust Nintendo to figure it out, but, like, they'll come up with something, but...
Yeah.
I just feel like if you just release a Switch 2 that's got a worse display than the last thing you came out with, but it's a little bit more powerful... And that's it?
Yeah.
Nobody's buying a Switch for the power. I don't know.
That's why it's got to be the software. That's what I'm saying. It's got to be Tears of the Kingdom 2 or whatever the hell is next, along with the next Mario, the next 3D Mario, and Metroid Prime 4 have to be exclusives next gen.
I just feel like they can't show any kind of Mario game or...
That's going to be a big enough leap to be like...
That you would see and be like, oh, wow, there's no way they could have pulled that off on the Switch. Like, it's going to seem like they're just locking games to the Switch 2, whatever you want
to
call it.
To force you there.
To force you to buy it, yeah. Not that it couldn't have been done.
I mean, at least with the PS5 and the series consoles, you've got the SSDs. You've got no load times on most games, you know, that are made right. for it and stuff. So there's other stuff there, along with 4K 60, 120 support, all that, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
I don't know. I have faith in them, but I also don't, for the life of me, I can't come up with a single thing that they could do hardware-wise that, unless you totally go again. I mean, this, everything, it sounds like it's pointing to it being kind of like the Switch. Can be portable. Unless they go like this, whatever it's called, the stupid PlayStation thing, where it's a console, but it come. But again, now you're talking the Wii U. You're back to the Wii U, where it's like it's a stationary console, but it comes with a thing for you to do
with a
like
display.
Network. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
I don't know what they're gonna do, but I can't wait for it.
I have faith, but I can't figure anything out for myself.
Yep, I agree too. And the only other item on the news list today, this one hurts us, but I want to talk about this. This also comes from VGC. Ubisoft has canceled plans for a sequel to 2020's mythological open-world adventure game Immortals Fenyx Rising. That's according to multiple development sources who told VGC anonymously that a follow-up game was in early development at Ubisoft Quebec, but company leadership ultimately decided to cancel it earlier this month due to perceived challenges around establishing the IP. The original Immortals, which was also developed by Assassin's Creed Odyssey studio Ubisoft Quebec, received generally favorable reviews. I mean, it was around a 75, 76 on Metacritic. I think it was way better than that. But Ubisoft has responded to this story and said it's, quote, reallocating some creative teams and resources within the Quebec studio, end quote. As part of our global strategy, we are redirecting and reallocating some creative teams and resources within the Quebec studio to other unannounced projects. The expertise and technologies these teams develop will serve as an accelerator for the development of these key projects focused on our bigger brands. We have nothing further to share at this time, end quote. Ubisoft's intention was to grow Immortals into a franchise, with journalist Jeff Grubb reporting last year that it intended to explore different mythologies other than Greece with future games such as Hawaiian Polynesian myths. The original game saw players controlling a forgotten hero on a quest to save the Greek gods. Later, the game's DLC explored Chinese mythology by having players take control of a new hero, martial artist Ku. Sources told VGC future plans for Immortals were cast into doubt after the company decided to pivot towards its most prominent brands. In January, Ubisoft said it canceled three unannounced games, not including the Immortals sequel, and was planning to strengthen its focus on its biggest IP and live services following weaker-than-expected software sales over the holiday season. This year's Mirage is one of at least six Assassin's Creed games in development at Ubisoft. And in May, the company announced plans to increase the number of staff working on the series by 40% over the coming years by reallocating staff from other franchises. VGC understands Immortals Fenyx Rising did find a modest audience, but a lot of it came via discounting. To put it into context, its sales in Europe were around 70% lower than what Assassin's Creed Valhalla managed to achieve over a similar time frame. If Ubisoft has decided not to continue the series, it's not particularly surprising considering its stated strategy and the game's modest sales performance. Another Ubisoft spokesperson told VGC the company does, quote, not comment on rumors or speculation, end quote. This sucks.
It sucks, and I'm not surprised. To me, the most surprising part of that was the fact that it was even in early development.
Yeah.
The fact that it even got that far. But no, I'm not surprised that it's never going to happen.
This game is so good. It was on Game Pass. I don't know if it still is. I don't think it ever came to PS Plus. You can usually find it for between 10 and 20 bucks. We said it at the time. It did Breath of the Wild, in my opinion, better than Breath of the Wild did it.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't have all the physics stuff and everything. It had some manipulating and freezing stuff and everything. But it was better than Breath of the Wild, I think, really looking back at it. It's not better than Tears of the Kingdom. I'm not going to say that. But it was a really solid game. And this reliance on Assassin's Creed, you're taking 40% of your staff and putting them on Assassin's Creed. It's like Ubisoft is becoming Activision, where it's like, hey, good job making Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 remastered. You're going to go work on Call of Duty. No. Hey, great job on Crash Bandicoot 4. That game was awesome. You're going to go work on Call of Duty. Like, I don't know. I'm going to pour one out for Immortals Fenyx Rising. This actually makes me want to go back and play it again.
It was really good.
Or at least do the new game plus, because I started that, but I didn't stick with it.
Did you ever get any of the DLC?
I got them, and I tried all of them. The only one I really remember is the one that was... One of the DLCs was kind of like a Diablo-like. It was top-down, isometric view, and you were just running around. It wasn't like a full, like a top-down Zelda game or anything like that. It was more Diablo-ish, but
yeah.
I never stuck with any of them. We love you, Fenyx Rising. Gone too soon. Now, it's time for the wrap-up. The PlayStation 5 has hit 40 million units sold. That's insane. Now, but they did say they're tracking a little bit behind PS4, but they're obviously very happy with 40 million sold so far. The generation is supposed to go until 2028, so we're not even halfway through. So you got to think they got a chance of getting to 100 million units.
I think...
Especially, obviously, they're going to put out a PS5 Pro next year.
Yeah, I think they're going to
put out a PS5 Slim. They might have the detachable CD drive. What year is it? Media drive, disc drive is what I meant to say. On the other side of the spectrum, Xbox hardware revenue was down 13% year over year, and Xbox blames supply issues for that.
Nah, I don't know about that one.
They're much easier to get than PlayStation, so I don't believe that. Rockstar's website has been updated on the back end with a reference to a game called Rockstar Games Presents Red Dead Redemption with a logo and a code name. Seems like, and remember a couple weeks ago we said that Red Dead Redemption got raided in South Korea. Clearly...
Yeah, this is happening.
There's a remaster or a remake coming. Are you interested?
I wouldn't say interested. I'm... intrigued. But I don't know of anybody that says
it's better than two.
Yeah. And I couldn't get into two, so why would I play this one? But I don't know. I'll keep an eye on it.
I will say when this gets revealed and when it's finally real, I hope it's not Grove Studio Games or whatever it was that did the definitive edition. Now they've mostly fixed it since then, but like they were using AI to like change like up-res images and stuff. Like everything was wonky, and then there was a lot of issues with that. Hopefully, Rockstar is doing this themselves, kind of like how Naughty Dog was finally like, all right, fine, Last of Us Part 1, give it back to us. We'll make this work.
Yeah.
Just not on PC. Capcom, it was unearthed that they are planning on releasing an unannounced game by March of 2024 that they're expecting to sell, quote, millions. Now, my first thought was Resident Evil 9.
There's no way.
But it's too soon.
I don't even know that it's too soon. It's almost too... That's what, 7 months?
Eight months? No reveal.
And we don't know anything? Yeah.
I mean, like, Street Fighter VI just came out. We just got Resident Evil 4 remake. Village was 2 years ago. It's going to take more than 3 years to work on that game. I think it's Monster Hunter World 2.
My guess is some kind of Monster Hunter game. Yeah.
Which I could not care less about.
No.
But I'm happy for the fans. You know, that's their best-selling single game of all time is Monster Hunter World. Over 20 million units. It's sold more than Street Fighter 2.
Wow.
Final Fantasy 14 Dawn Trail expansion was announced coming out next summer. But also at this show, Final Fantasy 14 is also finally coming to Xbox. I'm very happy for Xbox fans. I'm very nervous about these next two quotes. The first one comes from the Square Enix CEO. Quote, starting with today's announcement of Final Fantasy XIV coming spring 24 and whenever possible, we are planning to bring our games to Xbox for players to enjoy. End quote. Phil Spencer, quote, "We look forward to building on the relationship that we've established and bringing Final Fantasy 14 to Xbox and partnering closely with the Square Enix team on future games," end quote. I swear to God. I think I'm probably just being nervous and reading too much into this.
There's no way.
They just bought friggin' Activision. If that can go through, then they can get any other merger to go through or acquisition.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I don't think they would sell to them, but hopefully it is just face value. They're going to start getting more games on Xbox unless PlayStation buys them. We got our first trailer for Castlevania Nocturne. Red Dead 1 is better than 2. It's actually fun. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Castlevania Nocturne is launching September 28th. I cannot friggin' wait. The trailer looks awesome. Richter's badass. They didn't show Alucard, but he's got to be in there because it's all around. So he's going to be in there. I think we saw Maria in there.
I was trying to figure out if I saw her.
I think it was Maria. What's her last name? Renaud or something?
Renaud. Yeah, something like that.
I cannot friggin' wait. I'm going to go back and watch Castlevania again, seasons 1 through 4. You can do it all in like a day.
4?
Yeah, there's 4 seasons.
That was 3.
Mm-mm. 3 is setting. 3 is kind of slow. It's setting up the vampires and all that stuff. And then season 4 is the big bad. And it's got that awesome final battle
with
Trevor. I can't wait. Xbox is rolling out a new homepage experience on both Series S and Series X. PS5 has got their latest software beta rolling out now, which will add accessibility features, support for Dolby Atmos, social feature enhancements, and a larger capacity support for SSD drives that you can add.
And?
Well, I don't know.
You can turn off the stupid beep when you turn on the PlayStation.
Really?
Yes. I want that thing gone. It's so loud.
Loud. Why does it beep?
I have no idea.
It lights up. There's lights everywhere on the console. Yeah. You could tell it's turning on.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can turn that off on this new one.
That's interesting. I did not know that.
Yep.
Lords of the Fallen got a gameplay overview. The story is to overthrow the demon god Aedir. I think I'm saying that right. You can do melee, magic, and ranged attacks. You can also have magic builds that are based on fire and light and other things. There is co-op available to be able to buff each other through. Basically, they're just trying to make Dark Souls or Elden Ring, you know. And this game looks super cool, but I just feel like how I feel about every other quote unquote 3D Souls, like Lies of P included. It was fun. I don't think I'm going to spend $60-$70 on it.
No.
I want From Software. I want the guys who make Soulsborne games to make Soulsborne games.
Yeah.
Do you care at all, or are you where I'm at?
I mean, I wouldn't say I don't care at all, but I'm just very much wait and see.
If it launched on PS Plus Extra or something, I'd be like, okay, yeah. Hell yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
In bad news, CD Projekt Red is laying off around 100 employees, which is about 9% of its entire staff. Which is so weird because now, like, they finally fixed Cyberpunk. They've got the DLC coming out. They're working on Witcher 4. They're working on a remake of Witcher 1, I think, whether that was official or was just reported. I don't know. It's just weird to me that they would lay off almost 10% of their employees.
Yeah.
That sucks. In good news, Sea of Stars has gone gold. It's also launching on PS Plus Extra in addition to launching on Game Pass as well. This is the first time this has ever happened. I would love to be a fly on the wall. I would love to know somebody at Sabotage to leak. What did they get paid? From both.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they got paid a lot more by Microsoft, would be my guess.
Probably.
Because they're Microsoft. They have the money. But they must have gotten a really big amount of money to be like, we're only going to sell this game on PC and Switch.
I can see this game.
PS Plus Extra,
but. Yeah, I can see this game still selling a butt ton on Switch.
Mm-hmm. They also released a demo on PlayStation, and I was like, cool. And then I was like, wait a minute, this seems familiar. Oh yeah, I played this on Switch like 6 months ago, idiot. I'm still bad at turn-based games. I'm like, attack, and then they attack me. I'm like, is there any way to not take damage? I just don't know how to play Okay, so I shouldn't stress out about that. It's just, it is what it is. I can heal myself if I need to, or I can charge the attack. I don't know. Because it's launching on Extra, I'm definitely going to try to play this for sure.
I mean, this is a game I was 100% going to buy.
Yes.
So it's cool that I don't have to now.
Yep. Double Dragon Collection was announced. It's coming in November. This will include Double Dragon Advance, which I never knew was even a thing. A Double Dragon game on GBA. Super Double Dragon, the SNES game, and then Double Dragons 1 through 4. 1 through 3 are the NES versions, which I think is kind of odd. And then 4 is the horrible game that they put out on PS4 like 7, 8 years ago that was just like...
I don't even remember that.
It was horrible. It was horrible. No Double Dragon Neon. No Double Dragon 5, the fighting game. It's just weird the games they pick for this. Why didn't they pick the arcade versions for the Double Dragon games? Like, the better versions.
Yeah.
I don't know. What the hell? Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2 was announced. It's coming out to everything. Why? Didn't the first one just come out, like, last year?
Yeah, I think it was last year.
I don't get it. Multiverses got taken offline. They had to... they're, like, completely rebooting it. Like, I don't know... I don't know. There's all these friggin'... Why can't Sony bring back PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be a Smash clone. It can be a Street Fighter clone. But just do something. Like, I want to see Kratos fight Joel. Like, it'd be awesome. I don't know.
Abby.
Oh, my God. I would rip her head off. PlayStation... is now almost 30 years old. There are so many characters going back over 3 decades that they could pull from. Like,
yeah,
I think it would be awesome, but whatever. As Sean alluded to earlier, Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons are now available to play on Switch Online. You don't need the expansion pass. I thought you did. We talked about it in the Discord. Thank you for all correcting me. And Ayudin Chronicles, The 100 Heroes, has been delayed to Q2 of 2024. This is the spiritual successor. I just blanked. Suikoden. And for the last time, we got Games with Gold announced. And they're going out with a bang. Two games I've never heard of called Blue Fire and Inertial Drift. These are just AI-generated names. These aren't real games.
They're going out. They're just going out with a fart. Like,
So we never have to discuss who wins PS Plus or Games with Gold ever again. And obviously PS Plus wins this month. Those games were announced as well, including PGA Tour 2K23. That shocks me.
That's awesome.
This is a hell of a month. Dreams, although they're shutting it down in September, okay. I think, like too little too late. And Death's Door.
Death's Door is awesome.
I need to go back and play that game because you got me so psyched out. Like, if you want to get the platinum, you got to use the stupid umbrella. And I was like, I suck at this game. I'm getting my butt kicked with a stupid umbrella. I should have just said the hell with the platinum and just played it. But I already bought it, so I don't care that it's on PS Plus. It reminds me that I would like to go back to that game.
It's really good.
But, I mean, it's like Tunic. It's not like a roguelike. Like
no, it, yeah, it's... Anything, yeah.
Right? It's linear. I mean, you go from one level to a level. I mean, you can pick them in an order, I think, because there's that hub area or something.
I wouldn't say it's linear. But, I mean, it's not like open world. You, like, gain access to new areas.
Right.
But you can still backtrack and revisit. And
okay.
I imagine, even though I haven't played it, I'm pretty sure it's like Tunic.
Before we go, John says in the chat, I have hopes for the Super Switch increasing the CPU and memory. That would help with the handheld version and add an external GPU to the dock to improve the big screen fidelity. Sorry it's late. I was driving. That is a good call. Don't just have the... That's a great call, John. That's one thing they can do. Don't have the dock just be an HDMI port and a charger.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like it.
The fact that that dock costs $70 is a joke.
For a glorified...
It's an HDMI port.
Yeah.
I mean, HDMI adapter. That's ridiculous. Oh, well. I can't wait for the Switch 2. Hopefully they nail it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for this episode of the Two Player Co-op Podcast. Thank you all so much for being here. Until the next time, Sean, go ahead and take us out.
Thank you for playing.